Hey, what's going on?
Chris, what
Man, it's been a while.
up, man? Yeah, it's been a minute, bro. It's been a minute. How things going?
Good. So I wanted to talk to you. Obviously, I've been trying to catch up with you over the years, and when I hit you up the other day, I was like, okay, I want to talk to you, but like I was wondering if you wanted to do the podcast. I thought it'd be cool to catch up rather than like catch up twice, you know what I mean?
Since it's you, man, I'm gonna do it. That's all. Like, oh, okay, because Anthony, he was like, yo, this dude, he trying to get in contact with you, and he hit me up. I was like, who? And then he was like, yeah, some guy named Chris. He was like, you know him? I was like, oh yeah, I know him. So then he was like, it's cool if you know I give him contact. I was like, yeah, it's cool or whatever. So yeah, man, because you know I really be doing my own thing, man.
I know it, and it's funny because Greg, over the years, because like you're not like real active on social media, you know. It's not like I could just easily find you know what I mean? Like I haven't seen you come back to the U, and really like so it'd be every few years I'd be like, oh, I wonder what Greg's up to. And the thing is too, it's not, I know you kept it close with like your teammates, like you were, you had a close circle. So and I was like, I'd always heard because people I check in with people and they'd be like, oh, I don't have his number or nothing. But he's close with Reddick. He's still so.
It was like a select few, man. Like Terrell Walden.
Right.
I'm still in contact with him. Tavares Gooden, and then of course Reddick. But yeah, it was like a select few, man. 'Cause you know me, I was pretty much to myself, man. I'm a very private person.
Absolutely. I know. But like when he sent me it, because I hadn't talked to Reddick in a while either. I know he was in the CFL for a little bit, but I hadn't seen him, so it's not like I was just like running into people. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't like running into him and stuff. So when he sent me the number, I was like, oh man, like I just want to catch up. And like I said, I wanted to do this podcast. I kind of started this. I think it's been about a year now.
How this going for you, the podcast?
Good. I caught up with Brandon Harris. He played a few years ago, caught up with him, so did one of these, and then we typically just talk about the team and kind of how the things are going there. But yeah, still covering the Canes. I end up switching companies from when you were there, and then started inside the U.com in 07, and we're getting close to 10 years, and it's been
Oh,
going
that's
good,
so
man.
you've been 10 years. Well, that's a blessing right there.
Yeah, with my own company, you know what I mean? So this is my 14th season covering the team, and it's crazy to look back and like when we were about to talk, I have old game tapes, VHS tapes of you and whatnot. So I wanted to watch, just kind of like how it is with memory and stuff. But I wanted to check in and just kind of watch some of these games. But it was crazy, and it's crazy, man. I haven't talked to you, like I haven't, and we're good, man. You know what I mean? Like even to this day, like I always look back and like I always like appreciated the relationship and kind of the friendship we had during your time at UM. So I've always just like on a personal level, I always wanted to like catch up and see how things were going with you.
Yeah, man. Everything's good, man. Everything's good. I mean, now I'm on social media because I'm actually like I live in Atlanta. Like I rap now, so like I'm an artist. So I'm on like I'm pushing that like heavy on social media, like on Instagram, on YouTube, like all that type of stuff. So now I'm on social media. Like before, I wasn't because I was in the I ended up going to the military. I was in the army. I just got out of the army last year.
You speak on that, Greg? Like kind of what you did after UM, and then obviously speak more about what you're doing now.
Well, I mean, well, after UM, of course, I went free agent with the Falcons. That's how I ended up in Atlanta, but that didn't work out. I got cut or whatever, and then I really just I had went through so much at UM, like with my situation, that I really just lost I lost the love for the game, and it wasn't fun for me anymore. So I just came to a decision. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like I had teams like still interested in me and want me to come try out and want to give me a shot after the Falcons, but I was like, I'm done with it. So I stopped playing football. Then after I stopped playing football, I just got a job. I went into the job market doing jobs here and there, And then I worked for a couple years, and then I end up going into the military. So, and I was in the army for like 4 years, and I just like last year, April, that's when I got out the military, and I was like, I just want to do something I love doing, because I mean, so many people, they just doing things because maybe they have to, or maybe they feel like that's the thing to do. But I have a passion for music, so at this point, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just following my heart and doing what I love to do. So that's pretty much the timeline for me.
And obviously, I want to get into some things with you, but you starting out, I mean, Greg, with the music, what are you doing? And you speak more about like what you've been up to, like with the music side of things right now.
Okay, yeah. Well, the music side of things, I'm based in Atlanta right now. Actually, I got a song out now. I'm promoting. It's called Blink of an Eye. It's on my SoundCloud page. For anybody that follows me on Facebook or Instagram, it's on there. If anybody wants to follow me, I go under the name. My stage name is GT Exquisite. That's GT EXSQUISITE. And I just been doing shows out here in Atlanta and just trying to build a buzz up, basically. I mean, everything's going good. And hey, I'm just loving it right now. I'm just living life, man. For me, I'm living in my dream. I mean, so I'm just seeing how far this thing can take me.
Sure. And one of the things, Greg, you know, when I first got in touch with you on Facebook or whatever, you know, and saw your page, and I clicked on it in a little bit and saw a video, you know, with the fans, and you just kind of welcome people to the day, and you driving around, you seem so happy, and which is, and that smile, and you know, those are the things I remember about you. It's just good to see you happy, because I, you know, kind of when you said something about UM and football, I had known that about you. We had talked about that and how the way things ended and NFL stuff and whatnot. But it does seem like it's good to see that you're enjoying it and kind of doing your thing and what you like to do and whatnot.
Yeah, I definitely, man, encourage anybody, man, anybody that has a passion to try to, you know, go after that passion. I mean, because it's definitely, life is short, man. I just had one of my good friends I was in the military with. He just passed away a couple of days ago. And I was like just on the telephone with him, and we was laughing and just talking and joking. And then like a couple of days later, one of our friends called me and was like, yeah, he just passed the other night. So I mean, life is like that. That just reiterated to me that life is so short. Like you definitely got to try to pursue passions, and if you have a talent, I feel like you owe that to yourself to try to, you know, try to make good on it.
Yeah, sorry for your loss, man. That's tough.
Yeah, man, it's okay though. I mean, you know, he in a better place, and hey, when it's time, you just never know when, where, and how. So that's why, that's even more a reason why you got to live your life to the fullest.
So obviously the military, I want to get into that. Before we get into that though, I just kind of want to tell people about you as a player. Because, you know, Greg, I hate to remind you, but it's been a minute since you played at UM. So for people that don't know, Greg Three played at UM 2002 to 2005, and he's as a safety. He still ranks at Miami. He ranks eighth on the all-time single-season tackle list as a safety. He was the first player in over 20 years, and when I say over 20 years, that's because the stats don't go back that far. So who knows how long, but the first player, non-linebacker, to lead the defense in tackles. He had 136 that season. Greg, I want to read these numbers that year. 136 tackles, 11 for a loss, one fumble recovery, seven pass breakups, three interceptions. In 2004, your junior season, the team that finished ranked and 9-3 and whatnot. And you know, I think it's important, you know, and stuff that kind of your story and just my connection with you. Again, I felt so close with you during your time there, and but I also want to tell the story, kind of your story, because you know, people that maybe now today they don't quite remember how things went for you. But Greg, I want to start in 2002. You started as a freshman,
Correct.
as a true freshman, and on your defense, I looked it up. You had six first rounders on that defense, and you're a true freshman starting with William Joseph, Vince Wilfork, DJ Williams, Jonathan Vilma, Sean Taylor, Antrell Roll, and then Greg Threed as a true freshman starting in that group. You guys go to the national title game, and people remember that, and you got playing time throughout the year.
Right.
What do you remember about kind of your first memories of coming to UM and also kind of going back? You went to high school at Tallahassee Lincoln and you came down, and I know that's not where you grew up,
Right.
but still that's where you went to high school. Just kind of talk those early days of UM and kind of what brought you down to Coral Gables.
Well, I mean, it all stemmed from high school. I mean, if anybody knows, about Tallahassee football, like Tallahassee Lincoln is like a premier school to go to for football. I mean, a lot, you had a lot of people come out there to go to some big time places and big time schools. So, I mean, it was the competition. Like it was big competition in high school. So me personally, I just wanted to go to a place that had like the best of the best. And coming out, I mean, for me, it boiled down to I was gonna go to Syracuse, University of Southern Cal, or University of Miami, and I ended up picking the University of Miami, because I knew it was the best of the best there, and I just wanted to be a part of that, and I wanted to be a part of something special. I mean, it's the University of Miami. I mean, you can date back the years on top of years
Right.
of great players. So yeah, I went there, and at first, I mean, it was a big transition, coming out of high school, going into college, and especially University of Miami, because now you really seeing the talent level of other players in the country. Because like you stated, I mean, it was what Vince Wilfork, Sean Taylor, Jonathan Vilma, DJ. So I gotta try to rise up to the level of these players coming out of high school as a
Right.
freshman if I wanna see the field. So I mean, it just made me work harder, and the coaches took notice, and I was fortunate enough to be able to get on the field as a freshman. And it was definitely a magnificent feeling, a wonderful feeling, and a privilege to be amongst those players, and to be representing the University of Miami on the field as a football player.
Greg, and I started covering the team in 03, that second year. That's when I first started covering the team. And one thing you touched on it, how you worked hard. One of the things that even to this day, I talk to former players, guys you played with, and we kind of talk about back in the day or whatever. And one of the things they talk about with you is just how hard you worked. And there's a story that I remember. One thing that I always know when you're talking about you going and doing back pedals on the field. By yourself, and I heard with a backpack. Is
Right.
that? Can you speak on that? And I like telling these stories. I talked to Beeson the other day, and he was talking about the crazy things he was doing on his own and running around, and people thought he was crazy. But can you speak on maybe some of the things you were doing? And I think it's important because people that look back at the Miami so-called glory years and things like that, how much talent you guys had and all that stuff. But one thing I always try to remind people is, I mean, you guys work hard. Greg, you didn't have 136 tackles in a season just on talent. You know what I mean? Like
Right.
the work you put in, and not just yourself, the other guys too. You guys didn't just show up and be good. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously you guys had some talent, but the work you guys put in, and the work away from what was expected of you from the team or Swayze, and those are the things that are different. And it's so weird to me because in recent years, man, I know this will kill you, but certain players would tell me, I'd always ask in the summer, like, hey, what'd you do differently than everybody else? I'm like, oh no, I didn't do any, I did what the team wanted me to do. The coaches know the plan for me and I trust them. And one guy I asked about the jugs, he was a receiver. I was like, oh, do you do extra stuff on the jugs? And he's like, no, my hands are good. You know, I just work on other things. And it's like, man, you know, in my head, I'm like, man, you guys just don't get it. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
Because, you, again, go back and speak on some of the things you were doing and tell that story about your backpedal stuff you used to do on your own.
I mean, for me, it was just a driving force within me then, and even right now to this day, that fire just it burns within me to be something greater, like to be more than what the average are, even more than what the best is. And at that point, I mean, even before we would have like 7-on-7 drills, but before the 7-on-7 drills, that's when I would go out there with the backpack and I would do my own drills. Because I mean, you always, I mean, me, I was always looking for that competitive edge, and I felt like if I could outwork the next person or the person that was better than me, then I would have a great opportunity to be better than the greatest person. So I mean, it just boiled down to how great did I want to be, and I wanted to be one of the greatest. And at the same time, like, you got to realize at that point when I played, like, it was like, I don't know how it is now at the University of Miami, but it was like a great brotherhood. Like, and you definitely didn't want to let that person down that you're playing beside, or the person that's on the team with you, because that guy's depending on you. Like, when I touch the field, like, they depending on me to make plays. They like, okay, we know Greg 3 is gonna go out there and do what he's supposed to do, and he's gonna come through for us. So that even made me work harder. Just accountability to myself, accountability to my teammates, accountability to my family. Because you gotta realize, like, not just in football, and everything that you do, like, you're a representation of your tree. You're a representation of your family. You're a representation of your mother, your father, your kids, if you have kids. So you gotta represent them to the fullest. And that's in everything I do, that's all that I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to give the best representation of people that's a part of my life. So obviously the University of Miami and that team and that organization was a great part of my life. So I always wanted to put that my best foot forward. So I mean, just work hard, man. Like you telling me, you talk to I guess a receiver, and he's saying his hands was good. Like that was unheard of. Like around the time that I was playing, that was unheard of.
Absolutely.
Even after practice, we were still like DBs and corners. We would get together and we'll do extra after practice. So, I mean, it's just always about that extra, man. You just got to work hard in whatever you do.
And that's so crazy, because you guys were doing extra just to beat your other teammate. You know, and so much of kind of what happened at UM, in my opinion, that competitive edge was lost. And it kind of developed this mentality of, okay, I'd like to start, but if I don't, it's okay, and he can start. I'll just play my role. And
see,
Greg, you guys weren't like that at all.
Yeah. I can't fathom or grasp that concept of it's okay, you know, not to start. Like, you just want to be a part of the team. Because that's like when I watch the games and, you know, support the team from now, that's what it looked like. It looks like a bunch of people they're just glad to be a part of the University of Miami. But you got to understand, like, there's a status that you got to uphold when you are a part of that. But I mean, for some reason, like, they just happy with being a part of the name.
No, for sure. And the things you talked about, you know, just about being a part of the team and you taking pride in that. You know, I look back and, Greg, you carried that with you on your bracelets. You know, I remember you had team on one side and respect on the other.
Right.
For every game. And for so for people listening that listen to you right now, hear you talk about it, like you've had that passion. And one of the things with that too, Greg, is I think some of the time, like back when you were playing, and you probably can feel this now and maybe be have some perspective on it, I felt like in a sense you were misunderstood with your personality because you were a little, I don't know if it was standoff, you're just quieter, man. I mean, we got along so good because I think that's our personalities were similar in that sense. You know what I mean? Right. Like, even though you were on the team, I was a reporter or whatever, like, I think that's why that connection was there because I felt like I related to you pretty well with that kind of thing. You know what I mean? And I think you were misunderstood. So, but like, you carried it with you. Like, that was, you had so much pride in that. And I think that sometimes, I think even coaches, to be honest with you, like, didn't quite understand maybe your personality just because you weren't as expressive all the time. But this hard work and this passion, you did it, like you said, you did it for your team, your family, essentially yourself. But you had so much built in, just a strong passion for being successful for the team,
Right. Yeah, I mean, maybe some of it was to my fault now that, I can look back on it because I never really gave people a chance to really get to know me like that because I was such a private person. And at that point in time, I really wanted to separate, myself from the player in football and then my personal life. So that's why I was, so quiet. I was really, man, all I wanted to do, man, I was just a kid. All I wanted to do, I just wanted to play football and just try to, put my best foot forward to help the team go far. That, when people don't really know your mentality and really they really don't have the inside track on you, they might, they start assuming a lot. Like, this guy is like such and such, this guy is such and such. But really, I'm a very approachable person. I'm a caring person. I love life. But, as a football player, you sometimes get so wrapped up in it that I would like, when I embark on something, I'm all in, I'm focused. And I mean, I was just focused on trying to play football and try to take the team as far as I could by doing my part.
Just real quick, hey, doing your part, I listed some of the stats during that junior season. Mm. Kind of looking again, Greg, you had 19 tackles in a game twice that season. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous. You speak on your mentality on the field. And the tackles aren't – what's crazy is you think, oh, a safety – because I've seen safeties that get a lot of tackles. They're right there in the box, almost like a linebacker. Greg, you kind of watching tape again kind of before we were going to talk about this. You weren't just in the box like a linebacker. You were coming up. You were passing the linebackers, getting this guy.
It's so crazy because, at that point in time, I don't know what kind of defense – what the defense they run now, but – at the point in time I was running, a lot of times, I was actually playing free safety. So, I'm in the middle of the field. I wasn't down there, with the linebackers just making tackles at inside the box or the line of scrimmage. I'm actually in the middle of the field getting to these plays. So that's really, the crazy thing about it, looking at it. But – hey, I was just out there playing, man. When you're doing something that you love to do, I mean, it's limitless what you can do. You just never know, man.
But before you got to UM, the tackling part of it, where did that come from? Because it's such a unique trait, and we haven't seen it since. And like I said, the numbers you put up, hadn't really seen it before. Where did your tackling ability come from, kind of as a young player coming up that pursuit and you locked up like open field tackles quite a bit. Right. I mean, guys, you took them down. I mean, you don't have that many tackles by just jumping in on the pile.
Nah, it just came from from coaching, man, along the way. I mean, it's at Tallahassee Lincoln. I mean, like that was one of the big things that they harped on, like missed tackles and tackles. Like we actually had a chart of how many tackles you missed, not how many tackles you made, how many tackles you missed. So, and then like at the end of practice, that was one of the drills that we worked on like relentlessly, like open field tackling. So I mean, it just carried over. And then when I got to University of Miami, it just got better. And then, you know, of course, you know, maturing as a person, you get stronger, faster and all that. So I guess it was like kind of my niche. You know, everybody has their thing. I mean, that was one of my niches. Like you had Ed Reed. Ed Reed was a ball hawking safety. Like that's his thing. He was good for an interception every game almost.
Right.
So you know that was gonna happen. I mean, so that was just my thing, man. I took great pride in it. And you know, you miss a tackle at safety, man, that can change the game instantly.
Sure.
So I feel like, you know, that was one of the things I excelled at.
So you mentioned Tallahassee Lincoln a little bit. I'm actually rocking a Lincoln shirt right now, Greg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I knew we were about to do this. Hey, on the back it says 1999, 2001 state champions.
Right.
At Lincoln, just to remind people, you play with Antonio Cromartie, Pat Watkins, Cravonzo Thorpe. What was that competition like? And again, those guys go to FSU, and kind of like most of the people, it was a feeder program for FSU. But those guys, what kind? I guess with Antonio, he had all that success in the NFL, and I watched that 2004 Miami game when you guys played FSU when he had that touchdown and then that crazy pick at the end. And just what do you remember about him and kind of maybe those battles in practice and
everything was competition, man. Like it's crazy because you know even as kids you like, okay, I want to be better than this person. I'm not going to let you outdo me. So that's what that practices was like that. Like every single day. Even games was like that. Like we competing against the team, but we also competing against ourselves. So we get back to school and we like, yeah, you see what I did? I did this better than you. I had an interception. You didn't have an interception. And you know, it was all in great fun, but I feel like it made the game a lot more funner. It gave you something goals to shoot for, and I feel like it just brought us closer together. I mean, cause it went like at Tallahassee Lincoln, like we won a lot of games, like a lot of games, like the time I was there. So, I mean, yeah, like competition, like true competition. Man, I feel like that breeds success. Like a lot of success.
And I think people even now like might get some of the things you're saying confused with doing it for the team. I mean, you guys were just competitive, like you said. You came through a competitive environment at Lincoln. It was competitive at UM. But you know, you compete with your teammates. You were tough on your teammates. You pushed each other. But when you're on the field, you're together. You know what I mean? I think people and you want the best for them too on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because what you got to understand, like we football is a team sport, and you're in a team environment. But the better you can get yourself, that's just gonna add to the team. That's gonna help the team. So I mean I feel like you can't go wrong by you know investing into yourself and trying to be the best that you can be and try to outdo the next player, because it's only gonna make the team better and stronger.
Greg, I want to switch it up. What kind of memories do you have of Sean Taylor? Just you know, got to play with him, obviously for a couple years, and just in that, you know, safety, and I know. You know, just your thoughts and your admiration for him. What do you kind of, what stands out to you about Sean?
I feel like me and Sean, I feel like we related so well, because Sean, he was kind of like a personal person too.
Mm-hmm.
And we really related in that aspect. And Sean, he was like a year older than me, a year or two older than me. So he kind of like took me up under his wing once I came in. So I mean, like we had some great conversations, and he pretty much showed me the ropes around UM and how the position is supposed to be played. And that was one of my things. I mean, I was trying to outwork him, because Sean was a hell of a player, man. Sean was a, God rest his soul, like he was a hell of an athlete and an even greater person. So I feel like, yeah, that's just one of the things. Like, a lot of people didn't really get to see the great person he was. And he was definitely a great person.
Is there something in mind that you either a conversation or something where you're like, man, this guy's great, like a great dude. Like, was there something that stands out to you with that, either a story, him as a person?
Yeah, man. I know, my sophomore, like, I think my fresh, like, towards it might have been my sophomore year, man. I actually tore my hamstring, so I was out for a little while. Right. And like, I was just so passionate about the game. I'm at practice, man, and I'm just like, I'm on the sideline crying, actually, cause I just wanted to be out there so bad. So Sean, man, he came up to me and he was like, man, you know, just keep your head up, man. He put his arm around me. He was like, man, everything gonna be all right. I mean, he was like, once you get back, just make sure you work hard and you do what you need to do, and you'll be in a position that you need to be in. And that was just one of the things that stuck out for me. Because, I mean, you know, as a young player, he didn't have to do that.
No. And Greg, you mentioned his he did keep to himself, you know, also kind of like yourself. What was it like that we talk about that Sean Taylor game in 03 at Florida State? You start alongside of him at safety. What was that like and that experience for you personally, and then seeing what he was doing? Making all those plays in the rain there in Tallahassee.
I mean, for me, I mean, it was a great experience because, for one, I was going back home to play because, you know, I went to school in Tallahassee. So that was a big deal for me. And then actually that was like one of my first games that I really, really was the guy, because most sites, the safety in front of me, he actually got hurt. So I had to step in. So it was just a great experience, man, and just you know, I just wanted to make sure I didn't let anybody down on the team, because I mean, you got all these big time players, and you like, okay, I know I got to do my job. I can't go out here and not do my job, because at that point in time, man, we pretty much policed ourselves. Like, the players is gonna get on the other players if they're not doing their job. And then, you know, afterwards, you know, seeing the tape, you know, what Sean did in that game, it was just amazing. I mean, I really didn't have time to take it in while I was playing, because I had a job to do as well. But looking back and seeing the tape, man, it was a great game and a great feeling going back home and doing as well as I done, and we won the game. So it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, I rewatched that game last year. You end up having 9 tackles, and I'm looking 7 solo. And one thing that stood out to me, Greg, you played kind of the whole game pretty much. And I think nowadays we just don't see, you know, you were a sophomore at the time, just thrown in. You know, I think sometimes now it's not really a next man mentality. It's kind of like, okay, you can play for a little bit, but we're going to get you out and get someone out. You know, they kind of rotate in like that. But they gave you full responsibility, and I'm sure that had to have been in your head challenging, because you knew you're going to start kind of leading up to it. So,
right. Yo,
Greg, the other, you know, these other guys that you played with, obviously a lot of big names and stuff. How is it, you know, what are some kind of things that stood out to you kind of playing with them? You know, what I know you touched on a little bit before, but just kind of what it was like, you know, Antro Roll was there, and obviously, you played next to Brandon Merriweather. Just kind of what were some of these things like?
I mean, everything, man, pretty much boiled down to work ethic. I mean, work ethic and accountability. That's I feel like that's the thing that stands out the most. And I mean, as far as playing together, I mean, it was a great experience. I mean, experience, you'll know, I'll never forget. And one of those things, as I get older, whatever, I probably look back on and be like, wow, I played with some amazing players. I mean, right now, I really don't think about it that much because I have other endeavors that I'm trying to do and other dreams that I'm trying to accomplish in life. But it definitely was an amazing experience.
Yeah, one of the things, kind of a memory that I have of you, other than the field on the play, on the stuff on the field there play. You remember, I don't know, when we went up to the Peach Bowl, we kind of tailgate or different cars, but we rode up together there, and we stopped in Valdosta. That's where you grew up, and you kind of showed me, you kind of met some of your friends and stuff, and it was just, I was just going, we were just going together essentially,
Right.
but I wasn't, I wasn't reporting, and we just kind of going. Got food and like I said, met some of your friends in Valdosta. And I remember, I think, I'm pretty sure, Greg, it was on Christmas Day because you guys played on that. It was like a December, late December game, but you guys got to go on your own or something.
Yeah.
But we drove up there. I remember you had that little truck, and I don't know. It was just really cool moment, and just again, one of those things where it wasn't just player reporter type stuff. Like we kind of hung out a little bit, so. I always remember that, and that was a good time too, kind of leading up to that Peach Bowl there.
Yeah.
Do you still get back to Valdosta sometimes? You still have friends and stuff back there?
Yeah, one of my good friends, my best friend, actually still lives there, but I haven't been there in a while. I mean, like right now, I'm so wrapped up in music that, I really don't get a chance to get back. But I mean, me and him, we talk all the time.
And that's where you were right before you moved to Tallahassee, right? Before eighth grade, is that right?
Yeah.
The whole time there. So Greg, we've talked about so much of, the UM stuff and kind of your rise, and that crazy season in 04. I want to talk to you about 05, your senior year, and I know that's something, and I'm very interested to know how you've processed it since. Just, I know it's been a few years, but it can't be easy what you've gone through. And again, when I say I've talked to other players about, just former guys just kind of catching up, and we start talking, and your name gets brought up and stuff of, they felt bad for you of how things worked out in
Yeah.
05. And again, for people that don't know, 05, you come back after a big year, your senior year. The playing time isn't there. You kind of lose your, I mean, you lose your starting job. Like you said, you end up falling out of love of the game. I mean, it becomes, it just becomes a complete turnaround from, again, from your rise as a player. Greg,
Yeah.
I am curious, and I know we talked so much during that season and how difficult it was to go through it, and I knew afterwards too. But what do you say happened essentially, and just what was that like, in your own words of how things went there your senior year?
Let's see. I mean, how can I put it? I guess I can equivalent if anyone has ever had, it's like this. If somebody gives you $1 million or $5 million and then it's taken back from you, that you're gonna feel very bad. So I mean, that's pretty much what it felt like. I mean, because I had worked so hard all the way up until that point just to see everything, start unraveling for what I had worked for. But then like the most the hardest thing was you still got to be a great teammate. Like
Right.
you can't really express yourself openly, so you really got to deal with a lot of this stuff all in the inside. I mean, as far as why it happened, like I mean, I couldn't even tell you, man. Like for some reason, me and Randy Shannon, we didn't see eye to eye, and He felt the need. He wanted to go in a different direction, So I was, my playing time was stripped and I was set on the bench. And I was just love scrapping, trying to get back to the field my senior year. And that's pretty much what that was.
And then you kind of battled a little bit of an injury, but the playing time was cut before that.
Yeah. But I never like the injury, like I had an injury like during like training camp. Like through that whole season I was never hurt. Like, yeah, that's what they told, like it was told to people that I was hurt.
So but Greg, you didn't have anything during the season? Like I'm looking at the media, it says you had a thigh injury.
Nah, I wasn't.
You were healthy the whole time.
I could play.
Okay.
Like it was never a point in time where I couldn't play. If that was the case, I wouldn't even dress for games. Like I was on the sideline dressed.
Right. That, man. Even just talking about it, it's because I've felt passionate about it. Just and obviously I had a relationship with you, but just on a football standpoint, it wasn't making sense to me. And I remember that being kind of a just one of those things. Even now, and there's been a lot of things kind of happen since then, but that's always a situation that didn't rest easy with me as a reporter outside looking in type thing. And it was hard to see it just for, you know, just on a personal level, seeing that. And what the stuff with Randy though, was it building? Because again, you had such a great year as a junior year. And I know the pressure was coming down also with, I mean, you guys go 9-3, in 04 and obviously 9-3 now. There haven't been a lot of 9-win seasons since, but and I know things were not at the level Miami was expected to be at during that time. You know what I mean? Like
right.
You guys didn't go to a BCS bowl, right. And I think maybe there could have been some pressure of switching things up at that point. But was it something that was building with you guys, or how would you explain how things kind of went, or did it just kind of that?
Man,
it just went
south like real fast. Like it just took a dramatic turn. That was it. Like, you know, of course they brought Kenny Phillips came in.
Right.
He was a hometown guy. I mean, not to take anything away from him. I mean, but maybe they wanted to go that route. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was a kid just trying to play football, trying to do what I needed to do. At that time, I was just trying to fight to get to the field. Like, because basically I went from the top to the bottom of the depth chart.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I couldn't tell you personally what was the reason, but, I mean, it happened. At first, I held ill feelings towards it. For a long time, I didn't even want to watch University of Miami football. But then I had to come to realization it wasn't the university that, you know, that did that. It was certain people in the position to make decisions that did that. So, I mean, I don't hold any ill feelings towards the University of Miami either.
Yeah. You mentioned Kenny Phillips obviously comes in as a freshman, highly touted. But Brandon was also – he got playing time. Well, you played alongside of him the year before, had the better year, but Brandon gets the edge to play with Kenny. And Greg, you mentioned, you know, being a good teammate and things like that. And I'm just thinking, you know, if I were to put it in, I think everyone listening, like if they were to put it in their own terms, did you have resentment towards those guys as individuals, or was it mostly directed towards the staff? I know you had some other teammates telling you should be in there and had your support kind of behind closed doors and things like that. But was that a struggle? Because essentially, I mean, they had something you wanted. Did you have a personal thing with those guys, or did you try directing it differently?
It was never personal, because it wasn't them. They weren't the ones making the decisions. I mean, it was coaches and, you know, other people making the decisions. So it was never resentment towards them. I mean, like I said, at that point, I was just trying to fight my way to get back to the field. I mean, so probably at that time, I was working even harder than I was just to get to that point.
Right.
Because that's just the type of person I am. I just, you know, I'm trying to outwork that person. And even if you probably can talk to Kenny, even like me and him had conversations and it was nothing but positive vibes between me and him. And I told him, I just told him, man, just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, cause I'm never the person to wish any ill fate on anybody. Because everybody has their role. Everybody has things they have to go through. I mean, for me, that situation, it taught me a lot about life, and it taught me a lot about people. So, I mean, and I feel like it made me a wiser and a stronger person by going through that situation. Of course, the end, the outcome, I mean, I'm at that level. I'm at the University of Miami. I wanted, my goal was to go first round top 10. Right. I didn't, you know, my stock, it plummeted because of that. But hey, life goes on. You gotta live. You gotta learn from it.
And that was another, you mentioned the draft. That was another thing. I know you didn't, I think you didn't think too much about the draft after your junior year, but if you had known, obviously you would have just went to the draft and started up. Yeah. You know, yeah. I know that's the conversations we had, Greg. Yeah. I mean, I know.
Yeah. If I would have known, like, I would have known how it worked. I mean, like, I didn't understand how it worked. I mean, you know, I'm just playing football and, you know, that was it. It was just something that I love to do. And I got to that point. If I would have known things was going to go how they went my senior year, of course, I would have left my junior year, and then we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Right. But Greg mentioned, you talk about your love for the game faded. You speak on that and what that entailed. I know you said you didn't watch UM, but football right. in general and kind of – and I think it's because you put so much into this, into the sport, right. and essentially the sport kind of – hurt you bad, I mean, or something like that. But you know what I mean? Like you speak on how you processed it, and then how long did that take? Because you seem like you're at a good place now with it, but how long are we talking here?
Man, I just got back to a place maybe like right before I got out of the military, man. Like something like that, and the things that I went through, like that's something that's like long lasting. Like you just gotta fight your way through it. I mean, I feel like you just gotta find another passion, find something else that you love to do, and try to and just go at even harder than what you was going at the first dream or goals that you was trying to do. So, I mean, for me now is music. Music is my football. That's what I love to do, but it took me like a long time, man. Like I didn't even want to watch football. Like I just really got back to where I can really watch football.
Yeah, you speak of the military, Greg. We touched on it earlier, just now. What was it like being a part of the military and representing your country? And obviously, you know, thank you for your service, man. I mean, people that do that, it's very honorable to do that. And I know there's people now listening that are representing their country right now as they listen. What was that experience like for you?
I mean, it was a great experience, once in a lifetime experience. The people I've met some of the greatest people while I was serving in the United States Army. I've had some great experiences. I got deployed. I went to Afghanistan, so I actually, you know, did some good over there. And yeah, it's a once in a lifetime experience, man. I could sit here and talk about it, but it's kind of one of those things that you have to experience for yourself. Like I can't, because everybody's experience is different. Like my experience is different from what somebody else's experience would be. But I loved it. Like it was great for me. It taught me a lot and gave me even more discipline than what I had before I went in.
Have you seen you? Do you watch UM? Have you? Will you? You know, it's a new coaching staff here, and people are excited with Mark Richt and whatnot. And obviously, you would know a little bit about it from being in Georgia. And like I said, you grew up in that way. So I'm sure it's a program you've paid attention to. Are you planning on seeing them, or will you, or anything like that? And Greg, you haven't been back to UM, right, since you left?
No, I haven't been back since I left.
Yeah. Have you, what are your thoughts now with the program and everything?
I mean, I feel like Mark Richt, I feel like he's a great coach. And he everywhere that he's been, he's done a lot of good and turned the program around. And I feel like he can do that at University of Miami too, but at the same time, it's basically gonna all boil down to the players. I mean, that's what people fail to realize. Like, yeah, you have this coach, but a coach can only do so much. Like, the players got to actually play for that coach. And I feel like from what I've seen, I feel like he's the type of coach that the kids would love to play for, and he does things the right way. So, I mean, I'm interested to see what happens. I mean, obviously, we don't know right now. Everything is pretty much, you know, it's all hype and speculation. But, hey, the jury is still out on it. But I hope it goes well, and, you know, he can bring UM back to the place that it once was.
Yeah, and I might be up your way. You know, Miami plays at Georgia Tech. I might be up that way, and maybe we can stop at Fat Matt's and get some barbecue.
Definitely, yeah, man. I'm here, man.
I know. Again, you speak up. Where can people find your stuff, your music, and things like that?
Oh yeah, man. If you want to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can go to GT Exquisite. That's GT. Exquisite, and everything will pop up. I have a video coming out soon. I have a song out right now. It's called Blink of an Eye, very inspirational and motivational song. So just check me out.
All right, most definitely, Greg. It's great. It really is great catching up with you, and as a person, and also as one of the greatest safeties to ever play at Miami. I feel very confident in saying that. I've seen a lot of great ones, and you definitely deserve to be in that context. And it's great seeing you do well.
Appreciate it.
And hopefully, yeah, keep this thing going, and we'll definitely stay in touch now. Now that I got your number, we ain't gonna wait 10 years or whatever it is.
Most definitely, we got to stay in contact.
All right, Greg. Definitely appreciate you doing this, and thanks everybody for listening.
All right, no problem, man.
Yep.